taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. I am glad you could join me today. This is where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. And boy, I think that is something that we really need to spend some time on. Now, today, I'm taking a look at some of the more, well, we'll call them egregious violations of the Constitution that are happening today. And I want to think a bit about not just the violations, but how do we get here? Why are we in this situation? Now, last week, President Biden announced his commitment to reduce the nation's cancer death rate by half in the next 25 years. Stop and think about that for a second. What does a president have to do with the national cancer death rate? And how is he going to stop, you know, reduce it in the next 25 years? I doubt he's going to be around that long. The man's old as it is. But somehow, the president seems to think that he can reduce the nation's cancer death rate all on his own. How's he going to do that? Is anybody stopping and saying, excuse me, Mr. President, I know you just said that you plan to reduce. How are you going to do that? I mean, it's not like the federal government hasn't tried to reduce cancer deaths before. Well, back in 1971, you had the National Cancer Act. And you know what happened to the cancer death rate? But in the 20 years after, or I should say, it's since that 1970 thing, it's remained flat. Now, in the past 20 years, death rates from cancer have gone down about 25%, in large part due to the development of new treatments. Not to mention some early detection. What did the president have to do with that? Absolutely nothing. But you see, we have these wonderful, we'll have a new program. That's what we'll do. The president will drop the death rate, the cancer death rate, with a new program. Cancer Moonshot. I guess they figured it worked so well for Kennedy. Maybe they, you know, in the space race, maybe we'll just use Cancer Moonshot. So what is this Cancer Moonshot? Well, in 2016, it started with the idea of streamlining FDA approval of cancer treatments. And again, federal government, nothing in the Constitution gives the federal government authority to regulate medical care, to authorize medical care, to determine the safety and efficacy of drugs. Yes, they can regulate interstate commerce, but that's to make it regular, not to micromanage it. So what are they going to do? What is President Biden going to do? Well, he's going to take a new cancer moonshot. How's he going to fix this? This is how, again, I understand the president lost a son to brain cancer. I understand. It's a hard thing. I've not lost a child. I've lost parents. I've lost a parent. I've lost grandparents. So I can understand the emotion, but what is he actually going to do? He's going to establish a White House Cancer Moonshot Coordinator. He's going to create a cancer cabinet to get even more representatives from more agencies. And he's going to host a Cancer Moonshot Summit at the White House. Does anybody else think maybe he's stripped a few gears? There is nothing in this proposal that will actually work towards decreasing the death rate from cancer. He says, well, they want to jumpstart progress on making up for cancer screenings that were missed as a result to the lockdowns that government imposed. Oh, I see. So government imposed lockdowns due to the COVID overreaction. So now we're going to spend God knows how much money making up for all the cancer screenings. That people warning, if you lock people up, they're not going to be to get the screenings they need to help reduce cancer. In other words, Biden and the policies of many American politicians are leading to an anticipated increase in cancer deaths. So they've got to be seen to be doing something. This is a show, folks. This is, look at me. We're going to take all this stuff. I'm going to save you. This is a scam. They're going to create a bunch of new federal offices. People are going to get paid a boatload of money to sit around yakking at each other. And they're going to do nothing to actually decrease the rate of cancer deaths. Do you know how you decrease the rate of cancer deaths? You have people working on treatments and testing. That's not what President Biden said. Well, we're going to streamline the process. Government's getting in the way of the process. You want to make it easier to reduce cancer deaths? Get the federal government out of medicine. Stop with the stupid screenings. Stop with the FDA bureaucracy. Stop with Medicaid and Medicare telling people what treatments they can try and not try. Stop with the CDC getting in the way of everything. Stop the illegal, unconstitutional meddling in medicine. That is a cancer moonshot. That's right. The answer to decreasing cancer deaths is just to get the government out of the stinking way. Not to put up a bunch of new positions to fund fat cats and cronies so that they can make themselves seem like they're doing something. Best thing we could do is fire the FDA, close down the CDC, take the NIH and tell them to go home. And take all of that money that the American people are currently spending to get wasted in Washington, D.C., and allow them the opportunity to donate to the causes that are actually working on the solutions, not the bureaucrats getting in the way. But you see, this isn't about actually curing cancer or decreasing the death rates. This is about President Biden trying to polish the turd that is his first year in office, in a vain attempt to try and not lose too much control in the midterm elections, and maybe, just maybe, get reelected in 2024. But it's not just cancer deaths that the president suddenly thinks he is in charge of and that he can control. But it's not just the president. His transportation secretary, another illegal, unconstitutional office, had this interesting brain fart. You see, he thinks that he can eliminate motor vehicle deaths. His goal is to have zero traffic deaths. Now again, when he was mayor of South Bend, Indiana, they said he couldn't even get a pothole fixed. He's going to end traffic deaths. Now, how in heaven's name is the Secretary of the Treasury going to end traffic deaths? Well, let's take a look at the article. See, according to the New American, Mr. Buttigieg's plan is to spend $5 billion of your dollars on grants and guidance to encourage cities to lower speed limits, adopt safer road designs by creating dedicated bike and bus lanes, and improve street lighting and crosswalks, because we all know that's the core of what all the traffic deaths happen from. Yeah. So I'm old enough to remember when then President Nixon illegally set a national speed limit of 55 miles an hour. Completely illegal. And it became a national pastime getting around the double nickel. Anybody remember the song Convoy? Yeah, convoys were all about getting around the speed limit. There was entire people made millions of dollars selling radar detectors and other tools to avoid getting caught for speeding. Why? Because in most of the country, by most of the country, I mean all the landmass outside of the stupid cities, 55 is so slow it puts people to sleep. So they want to look at, okay, now we're going to have you put in more bike lanes and other ideas, bus lanes. When was the last time you drove through a city that was not overly congested because there wasn't enough room for motor traffic? Forget the bus and bike lanes. I live outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Try getting through Nashville, Tennessee at 8:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I used to have customers in downtown Nashville. If I wasn't out of downtown Nashville by 3:30 in the afternoon, I might as well hang out till 7 because the traffic was atrocious. And now you want to take up more room with bus and bike lanes? And let's face it, how much would that actually help? This is, again, proof that the Biden administration, and let's face it, most government administrations are run by idiots. See, the other things they want to do, it's like, well, they want to use more traffic cameras because we all know how well they work. Oh, and they want to update federal rules for U.S. street markings, street signs and stuff like that. Again, unconstitutional, illegal, we don't care. They want to mandate automatic emergency braking in all passenger vehicles, so now you're going to have to pay more for them to illegally place mandates on vehicles. All of this, even if they did each and every one of these things, I guarantee you, you will not get the traffic deaths down to zero. Why? Because you have millions of people operating 2-ton death machines. And people, well, they're human. They make mistakes. We do stupid things. And the one way you could, the only way you could end up with zero traffic deaths is basically outlaw vehicles. I don't just mean cars. Cars, trucks, motorcycles, buses, bicycles, tricycles, scooters, carts. Unless you make it unless the only thing you can do is walk, you will not get rid of traffic deaths. But you see, you have another administrative official saying, oh, look, we're going to do this wonderful, impossible, stupid thing so that the clapping seals in the elite of our country can go, or, that's a great idea, Mr. Buttigieg. We'll just put everything down to zero. Physically impossible. The very idea that someone would believe that you could get traffic deaths down to zero means they should be in an insane asylum. So either he's lying through his teeth, which is quite probable, because let's face it, Mr. Buttigieg is a politician. How do you know when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. So it is really quite probable that he's just simply lying through his teeth, hoping that you will vote for his candidates because he promises the impossible. Or he believes his own rhetoric, in which case he should be locked up for his own safety, for the safety of the nation, not criminally. I mean, this man needs to have his head examined. This is what passes for quote-unquote leadership in America. Promises that everybody knows could never happen. But they keep coming and coming and coming, and people go, oh, isn't it wonderful? Mr. Biden's going to drop cancer deaths by 25%, and Mr. Buttigieg is going to get rid of traffic deaths. No, they're pandering to you. They're lying to you. They are looking for an excuse to rob you blind. Because everything they're talking about doing means taking money out of your pocket on another failed, illegal, unconstitutional federal boondoggle. And the sad part is the American people fall for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Well, like, do you remember the lie with the Patriot Act that, oh, no, this won't be used to spy on American citizens. This is about terrorists and overseas actors, and you'll be just fine. Yeah, well, end of January, the Office of Inspector General of the National Security Agency released a report showing that the agency failed to follow basic internal guidelines and court-ordered procedures in its surveillance of American citizens and your communication. See, according to a CNN report, the report from the IG showed that the agency abused a loophole in Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Security Act. Now, this section allows the government to collect communications of foreign citizens on foreign soil without a warrant. But it prohibits the government from doing so with American citizens, except there's a little loophole, and the NSA and the CIA can use this section to collect your communications without a warrant if they believe, quote, a query is reasonably likely to return foreign intelligence information. Yet no probable cause, no warrant, no nothing like that. If we think we believe there's a good chance we're going to collect some dirt, we're going to do it. The report also revealed a concerning number of identifiers of U.S. citizens as query terms, and that they did not follow NSA procedural and policy requirements on how they gathered this information, on the selectors they use, the terms they search for. Basically, the NSA is collecting this data, and they say, we need this data. It is necessary so we can find the bad guys, except they're using it illegally, unconstitutionally, against our own people. Now, the NSA spokesman declared the NSA remains fully committed to the rigorous and independent oversight provided by the NSA Inspector General's office. If you believe that, I have oceanfront property in Nevada to sell you. People warned when the Patriot Act was being debated and signed that this would be used against American citizens, and here is the proof. And Americans want to turn over more power to this government? This corrupt, criminal excuse for a government? You know, there's a saying that I like. I've modified it. We all know the saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, I had a third line. Fool me 10,000 times, I must be an American voter. Because to be fooled and lied to, this is the equivalent of Charlie Brown trying to kick the football, thinking that Lucy will not pull it out of the way the 10,000th time. See, for all the criminal activities that are going on, it's ultimately the American people that are allowing it to happen. We are the fools. We are the idiots. Because we watch this happen over and over again and somehow magically think that, no, this time they're going to get it right. But yet we still keep looking to Big Brother, to the big bad bully called federal government to take care of our stuff for us. Now, I've talked before, there have been reports of a huge increase in the number of reports of disruptive behavior by passengers. Passengers that are fed up with this masking on airplanes, and in many cases, even reports of flight attendants abusing passengers, even without, you know, not simply for not wearing a mask, for I mean, just, you know, like I said, eating. the rule says if you're eating, you can take your mask off. And there have been reports of, not granted, relatively few, but flight attendants being abusive, taking this power. Now, if you've flown in a commercial airline any time in the last 20, 30 years, you've probably heard that it's a federal crime to ignore or to not follow the instructions of a flight attendant. Well, that little piece of tyranny is basically, it's illegal. Right? They are not, flight attendants are not federal employees. They do not have federal law enforcement powers. They aren't made dictators. And I'd love to see someone challenge that. But we've seen this rise in disruptive behavior because people are fed up with these ridiculous rules that have been put in place. So now the CEO of Delta wants the Department of Justice to have passengers convicted of, quote unquote, disruptive behavior added to a no-fly list. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. First of all, you have a list of people who are denied the right to travel on airlines because of some non-due process, an undue process. Because I know many people, plenty of people who said, I've been put on the list and there's no way for me to get off the list. I don't know how I got on the list. I don't know why I was put on the list. I can't get an answer to that. But now you have an airline saying, well, listen, we've got a disruptive passenger. We don't want them to not only not fly on our airlines, we don't want them flying on any American-based airline, any airline in the country for being, quote unquote, disruptive. Would that be true if you are standing up to a flight attendant that's abusing your rights? Are you being disruptive? Now, it's one thing if you've got a passenger that has a history of outbursts, of threats, of violence. But if all it takes is a flight attendant who doesn't like the way you're handling a situation, doesn't like the fact that you're challenging their authority, the authority of an illegal mandate to label you as disruptive and ban you from flying within the U.S., this is tyranny. And the CEO of Delta wants the federal government to make it possible for them. Tell me these major corporations aren't in bed with government and vice versa. Imagine you get on an airline, you get on an airplane, and the rule states, I'm just using this example because I've seen it a lot lately. The rule states is you don't have to wear a mask while you're actually eating. So you take your mask off, you're eating something, and a flight attendant comes by and says, excuse me, you need to put your mask on. I'm sorry, I'm eating. Well, no, you need to put your mask on. I'm like, no, I'm eating. The rule says, unconstitutional though it might be, the rule says that I can take my mask off while I'm eating. The flight attendant doesn't like that. She simply labels you as an unruly passenger, has you escorted off the airplane, and now you're going to be convicted. How are you convicted? Is it now a crime to disagree with a flight attendant? Doesn't this really fall under the Eighth Amendment's prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment? See, we've now taken all of this federal power, and now we're starting to put it in to non-federal employees. Now, if you are a flight attendant on an airline within the United States, on a flight, you effectively are master of all those passengers. Because what you say comes with federal consequences, federal law. You disagree with the flight attendant, you could be marked an unruly passenger, and Delta Airlines wants you put on a no-fly list. Now, I'm not currently flying Delta Airlines. By the way, not because of this. I haven't been flying for 2 years because I don't trust the airlines to actually follow the law much less protect my rights. Therefore, I won't give them my money. I won't do business with them. I drove through the Northern Plains last year. By the way, I'm working on a new tour. I'm working on my 2022 tour. So if you're interested and you would like me to come speak to you, just head to constitutionstudy.com. You can submit. There's under the menu, you'll find a speaker request, and you can ask that I come speak to your group. Looks like I'm going to be doing some time in Texas. I know I've been invited to California and to Idaho. I have an open invitation in North Dakota. I bet some of the people I met in North Dakota, some of the other people I met in North Dakota and in Wyoming have already said next time I'm in the area, they want me to come. So I'm expecting that. I've had someone ask me to head down to Florida. I'm still trying to get to the Northeast. I still have friends and family in the Northeast I like to visit, and I'd like to do this part of a trip. Let's see what we can do about spreading the word by, again, I'll speak to groups. And oh, by the way, if for some reason you can't, we can't arrange it so that I can come speak to you in person, we can always do something over the internet. But that's how we teach the rising generations, how we spread the blessings of liberty, is by educating ourselves and educating others. So again, head to constitutionstudy.com. Take a look. I'm still planning on doing some of my Knowing Your Rights, but I'm working on a newer, something new for 2022. We'll see where that goes. And if you can support the work that I'm doing, if you want to support those tours, if you want to support me going out and speaking to other people, help pay for my travel, my living, my hotel rooms, the conference fees and whatnot, we can go to constitutionstudy.com. You'll see a donate now button on the right, and you can help allow me to go visit more people without asking them to have to pay for it. If you can support me in doing that, then I don't have to have other people pay for my travel. I'd appreciate that very, very, very much. Now, also, before I head off to break, please head over to healthycell.com. You know, it's amazing. I was putting together a shopping list, and to me, just how much junk food is out there. And I don't just mean the chips and the dips and the cookies and stuff, but look at how much of our grocery store is dedicated to processed foods and other things that just aren't as nutritionally healthy for us. One of the ways we get around that is by taking supplements. Now, the vitamin game really hasn't changed much since the 1930s. Well, that is until Healthy Cell came along. They reinvented the vitamin to work at the cellular level, to do things like boost your immune system or help you sleep better or focus deeper. And they even have a bunch of pill-free supplements to make it easier to take. Now, I don't know about you, but when I travel, I have a hard time sleeping. I got so much going on. I'm so busy. You get to the end of the day and I have to unwind, and I find it hard to fall asleep. It's been most of my life that way. My wife's had a problem sleeping most of her life, actually. So we started using REM sleep from Healthy Cell, and it works great. You take it and fairly quickly you start feeling a little drowsy, and it helps you drift off to sleep without all the chemicals and other processed nonsense. You get a good night's sleep so you can wake up refreshed and ready to hit the day. Now, they've got a lot of different supplements to do a lot of different things, but I'm talking today about the REM sleep because I use it, my wife uses it, and we like it. And you can get 20% off your first order from Healthy Cell by just using the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So try the REM sleep, try any of their products, put together an order. Just make sure when you check out, you put in the code OUTLOUD for 20% off that first order. And I think you will enjoy Healthy Cell just as much as my wife and I do.
Hail, my fellow Americans. How did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Constitution is the most magnificent document on earth. We are America Out Loud. Join us as we celebrate the genius of our founding fathers. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I'm glad you could rejoin me here on the Constitution Study. And today, we're just talking about the ridiculous, outlandish claims, the outright lies and fabrications, the insanity that is our federal government. Now, in the first half of the program, we did talk about Biden claiming he was going to reduce cancer by 25% by hiring more people in government. And then you had Pete Buttigieg saying he's going to get rid of traffic fatalities by instituting a few more rules and regulations. We looked at the NSA spying on the American people, violating the law, violating the rules. And honestly, we'll do it right this time. Trust us. And then, of course, you have Delta Airlines saying, oh, boy, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get the federal government to ban people that we determine are unruly. Of course, define unruly. Is it unruly to challenge an illegal action by a flight attendant? Yeah, there's a whole lot of that mess going on. Oh, but there's more. There's more. See, now there's a new lawsuit filed in federal court against the CDC's mask mandate. See, a Florida resident and his four-year-old son asked a federal court to decide if the CDC had adequate authority to issue an order requiring masks while on public transportation. I believe that's the order they're dealing with. So another federal mandate heads to the courts. Now, don't get me wrong. We have the right to petition the government for a redress of grievance. These are all petitions to government for a redress of grievance. But how often are we going to sit there and ask the federal government to protect us from the federal government and then sit there meekly if they violate the law? You had the ridiculous claim that the Congress authorized HHS to require employees be vaccinated, but not everybody else. That's what a court found, at least when it came to the question of stays and whatnot. We're not going to stay this because we don't think you've got the chance. Because, well, the Congress said, forget what the Constitution said. See, it's time the American people realize that, in my opinion, two things. One is the federal government is so completely and totally out of touch that I don't trust these lawsuits to get a fair hearing because courts ignore the Constitution pretty much as Congress does. But here's the other thing. So these residents in Florida are asking the court, have they asked their sheriff to protect them from an illegal mandate? See, we spend so much time focusing on what happens in Washington, D.C., we forget, no, let's look at what's happening in our backyard. See, if this mandate is not a power delegated to the Constitution, tell me, there's nowhere in the Constitution that the federal government's delegated the power to regulate transportation, to regulate apparel, to regulate medical treatments, none. This is a complete overstep. So tell me, why is not the sheriff of the county where this gentleman resides, why is the sheriff not saying, no, that's illegal, and if you attempt to assault this person for following the supreme law of the land rather than an illegal order, you're the one that's going to get punished, not the person following the Constitution. That's why I keep saying we need to focus locally. Yes, we need to fix Washington, but if we don't have protections in our own backyards, we are subject to the whims of these idiots in Washington. So this resident, Michael Selecki Sr. and his son, Michael Selecki Jr., they're asking a federal court, ask your sheriff, excuse me, are you going to allow this illegal order to be enforced? And if you want proof, well, just look at the 14th Amendment. Look at the Fifth Amendment, because this is a CDC order. Look at the Fifth Amendment. You shall not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The CDC did not follow a due process of law because they are infringing on these people's rights, not protecting them. Individual due process, the Free Legal Dictionary is a due process is a process, governmental or judicial, designed to protect the rights of the individual. This order does not. We don't need to wait for the courts to weigh in. We don't need to wait for the Supreme Court to weigh in. The Constitution doesn't give the courts the authority to determine what is constitutional or not. The courts are bound by the same Constitution. And since the 10th Amendment says if that power was not delegated to the United States, it's not theirs. And since transportation, public or otherwise, medical decisions, since apparel decisions are not delegated to the United States, these are all illegal orders. The government doesn't have the legal authority to issue these. We need to wake up and see that the emperor has no clothes, and we need to start calling them out. So here you have the Selecki. Now Selecki, Mr. Selecki's son receives frequent medical treatments, and it is a 20-hour car ride for them to get there. So they would like to fly. See, I'm linking it back into Delta. Now, his son has autism, and he cannot tolerate nor understand wearing a face covering. Yet despite the fact that the Mr. Zelensky has presented a doctor's note stating why the boy cannot wear a mask, the airlines don't care. So here you have the airlines enforcing an illegal order, ignoring doctor's advice, and punishing. Now, is this man now an unruly passenger? Should he be barred from flying for trying to protect his son from such an illegal order? Oh, by the way, you see, there's another little piece of this puzzle that I haven't seen talked about, but I'd like someone to consider this. In fact, Mr. Selecki, if you're listening to this or if you hear about this, do me a favor, go to uscode.house.gov, look up Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. Because it says, whoever, under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, shall be fined or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Tell me, is the flight attendant, is the counter agent, are the pilots, are the actual actors working for the airline, whoever, under color of a regulation, willfully subjecting you and your son to the deprivation of rights protected by the Constitution of the United States. Well, what right would they be deprived of? Well, again, they cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. That's the Fifth Amendment. Now, you have a property in your body, but you have the right to be at liberty. In other words, to go about your life without external interference, except as is necessary for the safety and security of society. That's what Noah Webster said. 1828 Dictionary. Now, is it necessary that a child be masked? No. Masks don't work. I'm going to cover that some more in a minute. But masks do not work. They do not prevent the spread of a virus. It makes no logical sense. You know, any little bit, just a little bitty bit about viruses, you know, they pass, most of it passes right through the mask. So they're depriving you of, and your son of, liberty without following a process designed to protect your individual rights. And they are willfully denying you your right to travel without submitting to an illegal order. Sounds like a criminal charge to me, doesn't it? So again, I don't know if Mr. Seklecki is listening or if anybody knows him and will pass that along. But consider that. You see, what is being done by the employees of the airlines are actual crimes. And if you want a nice tool to help inform them of that, just go to constitutionstudy.com and search for the word placard, P-L-A-C-A-R-D. Just search for that. You'll find the Knowing Your Rights. Click on that and you'll see you'll see it there. You can download a PDF of it. It shows the 4th, 5th, 14th Amendments. It shows that the Constitution supersedes state and federal law. It shows that acts of Congress and others that are contrary to the Constitution are void, both based on Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court. And it has the language of Title 18, United States Code 242. Everything you need to inform someone who's attempting to deprive you of your rights, and of the potential consequences. See, now, if Mr. Seklecki contacts the U.S. Attorney's Office, I doubt he's going to get much traction. But if people around the country, if hundreds and thousands of people, even millions of people, started filing complaints with the FBI, with the U.S. Attorney's Offices, for these crimes being committed against the American people, maybe they'd have to start paying attention. Maybe they'd pay just a little bit more attention to your rights. Now, I mentioned that masks don't work. Well, the CDC is once again lying, bald-faced lying to your face. They put out a tweet with a graphic that says that cloth masks are 50% lower your odds of getting of testing positive for COVID-19 by 56%. Okay. By the way, they also say surgical masks are 66% and N95s as 83%. Of course, they don't seem to mention the fact that you have to actually wear those properly for them to get that effective. But there's a couple of things they don't note in here. Among the 534 participants reporting mask type, that's really a small sample size. They didn't test thousands of people. They tested hundreds. And by the way, these people voluntarily reported mask type. They didn't actually go out and say, hey, you know, this person's wearing masks. No, they simply said what they were doing. But there's a little bullet point to hide way down at the bottom. And you know what they show? They show that the numbers are not statistically significant. Yeah. So let's ignore everyone from the Biden administration to CNN doctors acknowledging that cloth masks are useless. Useless. Let's ignore all the studies that show that cloth masks are useless. The CDC is lying again, pushing the claim that cloth masks can protect you. Why do we listen to these idiots? They use a tiny sample size. They use what is likely a biased self-reporting results. I mean, let's face it. How many people are going to admit to the CDC they don't wear masks? And the numbers they're showing are not statistically significant. This is not science. This is not news. This is propaganda. This is a bald-faced lie to the American people that are being used to support crimes against the American people. Okay, let's take a look at something else, because I've had enough of the COVID nonsense for a while. Do you know how I say when it comes to politicians and political parties, a pox on both their houses? Well, here's a classic example. Perfect example. Senate Bill 2710. Have you heard of this one? The federal government wants to order Apple and Google to open their private app marketplaces to third parties. Now, why did I mention that part about political parties? Because the two senators pushing this are Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut, and Marsha Blackburn, Republican from Tennessee. Yes, a pox on both your houses. Now, understand, the Apple owns the App Store and Google owns the Play Store. They own it. It's their property. They get to decide what products are available on that property. And you agreed to that when you signed the terms and conditions for using your iPhone or your Apple Android. Use an iOS device, terms and conditions. Yes, we use that and we get to determine. Fine. Google Play, Android, you agree to it. You, the American people, agreed to this when they signed up for it. But now you have government saying, we don't like it. Change. Now, I admit I would love to see a more open opportunity for people to experiment and play. In fact, I'm waiting for the day that someone figures out how to make a Linux phone. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, Linux is what's called an open source operating system. It's an open source kernel. You don't pay for it. The core part of the operating system is free. Now, all the other things you can bundle around it, you may pay for, but the core is free. And that means the individual, it's open source, it's anybody can use it. And if somebody figures out how to make a smartphone based on a Linux operating system, there you'll see innovation, because you can open up to whatever you want. You can have as many app stores as you want. But you see, we've chosen not to do this. Why? Well, because Apple and Android, they're pretty good systems. I personally detest Android because Google has been caught stealing users' information, for which they haven't truly been punished. But I use Apple. It's a pretty decent system. And I've yet to find a system that, or an application that I needed for my phone that wasn't available on the App Store. I'm sure there are people that have, but excuse me, when does the federal government get to deprive the owners of these companies their property without due process of law? Again, a lot of people love picking on big tech, on the Apples and the Googles and the Facebooks and the Twitters. Well, if you don't like the way they do their business, use somebody else. So you don't have a constitutional right to a smartphone. You don't have a constitutionally protected right to a tablet. They're consumer goods. You buy them. And when you do, you make certain agreements. Now, if people stopped agreeing to buy Apple and Android systems until they opened up their app stores, well, that would change. But let's face it, the people have decided the ease and convenience of using an app store is worth more than the limitations that about who can put an app on your phone. Because here's the other part. My IT background kicks in. See, do you know why? Well, there's a couple reasons. Do you know why Apple and Google originally put restrictions on applications in the App Store? To make sure they wouldn't crash the phone. Again, if you don't like it, use somebody else's phone. In fact, if more people, if more of the people who are upset about Apple and Google restricting access to their Play Store, to their app stores, if more of them simply went somewhere else, either Apple and Google would change or there'd be a third party, a third contender in the smartphone industry. But again, you have the federal government saying, we know better. We know better. You need to let third parties in. But then again, what happens when those third party applications are found to be buggy, cause crashes, cause data leaks? What happens then? Are senators Blackburn and Blumenthal going to come to the rescue again for a problem they created? And it's not just these two legislators. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted 16-6 to, again, try to deprive these companies of the property they've developed. Republicans and Democrats are trying to take over big tech industry. They're trying to regulate it. They're saying, we have the power to determine what happens on the internet. Again, if you don't like these companies, there's a reason why I'm not on Facebook. The answer is simple. They kicked me off and I don't want to do business with them anymore. The only reason I'm on Twitter and YouTube is so that other people can find me. I post my content and I walk away. I don't spend any money in advertising. Nope. The most they get is my content to share it. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else. But we need to stop, you know, expecting the federal government to A, protect us from ourselves, and B, force others to give us what we don't have a legal right to. See, this App Store bill, this antitrust bill, this is all about the American people wanting to force others to comply with their wishes, to deprive them of the liberty to do business as they wish without violating the law, to deprive other businesses of the properties that they have developed, they have designed, they have invested billions of dollars in these systems, in developing them, in standing them up. And now the federal government doesn't like the way they're using it. They want to take it over. How well has that worked for the phone system? How well has that worked for television? All you're talking about is government regulating more and more and more. And as I said right after the break, we need to stop looking to the federal government to fix everything. See, there are now 16 states that are challenging federal vaccination mandate for healthcare workers. They're at it. They're still working. They're still trying to get the government to stop violating your rights. And again, okay, I don't have a problem with them going to the court saying, we want your opinion on this. But these 16 states are not supposed to be vassals of the federal government. Louisiana, Arizona, Alabama, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi, Montana, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, Virginia, and West Virginia. How about you just say, we did not authorize Washington to do this. We didn't authorize the United States to do this. Therefore, that is null and void. It is not to be dealt with in my state. And if you attempt to deprive us of money or services because of that, well, then we'll start depriving you of revenue. See, this was the big thing about the 16th Amendment. The 16th Amendment meant that the states lost the power to control the purse of the federal government. Direct taxes no longer, on income at least, no longer had to go through the state before hitting the federal government. See, if there was no 16th Amendment, all of these states would, all they'd have to do is what I just said. You know, you don't get any taxes from us. We will, if you're going to withhold money from us, we're going to withhold money from you because you are violating the supreme law of the land. You are violating the compact. We created you. We set the rules, not the other way around. Period. End of story. It's one of the reasons why I'd love to see a repeal of the 16th and 17th Amendments. But we need to start fighting locally. We need to make sure that we don't just focus on Washington, D.C., that our states and our counties and even our towns are protecting our rights. Because if not, we are at the whim of people in Washington, D.C. who have proven time and time and time again that they don't give a rip about the Constitution of the United States when it gets in their way. They will use it when it helps them. They will ignore it when it doesn't. And the fact that they get away with it is our fault. We keep hiring the same crooks and criminals. We keep hiring the same people that allow the crooks and criminals to do business. We hire them time and time again. And if we don't stop, if we don't hold our elected officials accountable, then this experiment in self-government will go down in flames. And we are going down now. This is the Titanic, the holes in the side of the ship, the nose is underwater. We are sinking as a free republic. And we're arguing about where to place the deck chairs. Now be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. It's important we all do our part, that we share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, so that we can help secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and for our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.